I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, actor Eric Stonestreet. He plays Cam on Modern Family, but before that, he was a clown and proud of it.
Clowns just want to make you laugh. They don't want to creep you out, and they do good work for sick kids, but now sick kids are scared of them because of all you adults saying they're creepy.
Plus, we get context around this somewhat alarming sentence.
I naturally did what any, 16-year-old kid would do, and I went elbow deep on that cow.
And music from Brandi Carlile.
Let them roll over me, let them roll over me, when I doubt you. Let them roll over me, let them roll over me, when I doubt you. With the weight of the world resting on my back, and the road in which I've traveled is as long as it is cracked.
All on Wits, coming right up. From APM, American Public Media, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. This week, our second episode with actor Eric Stonestreet and singer-songwriter Brandi Carlile, recorded at the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul. We're going to hear Brandi sing in just a little bit. First up, Eric Stonestreet. He's won two Emmy Awards for his performance as Cam on the TV show Modern Family, and he sometimes does appearances on the road with his Modern Family colleague Jesse Tyler Ferguson, who plays Cam's husband, Mitchell. We learned some shocking facts about Eric, and we asked him to fill us in on the details.
Shocking facts. Facts about our guests that are shocking and our facts and together comprise shocking facts. I will present the shocking facts. Eric Stonestreet will offer some elaboration or explanation. Shocking fact, Eric Stonestreet, you had your hand and indeed your arm inside a cow.
Shocking facts.
Why, yes, I did. I grew up with cows and pigs, and one day my dad was out in the woods or pasture, and he had his arm inside of a cow because the calf was breached, and he said he needed my help turning the calf opposite. So I naturally did what any, 16-year-old kid would do, and I went elbow deep on that cow.
We've all been there. Huh? We've all been there.
Yeah. I used to have it on my resume, actually. When I moved to L.A., they always like special skills or little interesting tidbits, and I always put at the end, accents, discus thrower.
Stage combat.
Stage combat. Had my hand in a cow.
Eric Stonestreet, shocking fact, you were rejected twice for the part of Cam on Modern Family.
Very, very sad. Yes, indeed. It was a tough time. But yeah, it's a process. And I went in twice, and they liked me and thought I was a fine actor, but they didn't necessarily think I was the right guy for the part. And then they kept having auditions, and they kept coming kind of back to me and finally gave me the opportunity to test for the studio and then the network. And after about a 2.5-week process of not getting it twice, I got it once.
Cam. You are Cam.
Thank you. Thank you, Brent.
Was your portrayal, did it match up with what they said that they wanted?
Well, they didn't know what they want. I mean, if there's an actor out there listening right now, you have to remember that producers don't know what they want until it walks in the room, and they're constantly talking themselves out of things. So you can only do what you do. You can't try to guess. And I went in and did the performance of Cam. I've never changed it from the way I auditioned for it for the first time to now. And I did that, and that didn't necessarily line up to what they kind of thought they wanted. And it just kind of kept coming back. And, they just landed on the fact that I was funny. And that was, that's what they went with.
Worked out pretty well.
Got me to St. Paul.
Shocking fact, Eric Stonestreet, you have been arrested.
Shocking facts.
Yes, it's a funny thing. When Jesse and I do shows together, sometimes we travel, and this is a part in the show that always we always talk about, like the differences between Jesse and I. And we tell the audience that we've each been arrested, and on the count of three, we're each going to say what we were arrested for. So I say 1, 2, 3, and Jesse, I say bar fight in Manhattan, Kansas, and Jesse says, jumping over a turnstile to see Barbra Streisand. And pretty much the differences between Jesse and I.
It's Why were you in a bar fight in Manhattan?
Oh, well, this is a happy show, but I may have had a libation or two, and a friend of mine had his jaw wired shut from getting hit with a softball bat, an intramural softball, and some guys started a fight with him, and I tried to break it up, and they hit him, and then I, you know, I just did my thing, man.
You did what you had to do. Thank you for explaining these shocking facts. Eric Stone Street, besides being a beloved actor on Modern Family, you are a former clown.
Yes.
And I understand...
Talking about creepy!
And you once performed under the clown name Fizbo,
yes.
Which is the clown name that Cam performs under on the show.
That's right.
What does the name Fizbo mean, and does it mean for sale by owner?
Ah, no, it doesn't mean for sale by owner. Real estate agents love that. Fizbo was given to me by my dad when I was probably 9 years old. He just said, you're Fizbo the clown, and it stuck.
The dads are like that.
Yep. He also called me Meatball.
Didn't stick as much.
No, thankfully.
Well, because we are curious about clowns, we have prepared a set of questions about them. And because many people are scared of clowns, I will ask these questions in a lightning round style as quickly as possible.
And then what do we say about the clowns that are sneaking up on the audience currently from behind?
Nothing at all.
Okay, yeah. Do not turn around. Oh!
Oh, boy. What's the most important thing about being a clown?
Connecting with who you're performing for.
What was your go-to clown move?
Magic.
Why do people think clowns are so scary?
I don't buy it, but unfortunately you got people like John Wayne Gacy and Pennywise that kind of messed it up for everybody.
Did you ever do that lots of clowns in a car thing?
No, but I got pulled over by a cop one time and he asked me, is there a reason I was speeding? And I said, really? Like... I just put this on a Sunday afternoon and just see if I can outrun you guys.
In 10 words or less, what makes for a great clown?
The connection to the audience, the love of making people laugh, the commitment to the physicality.
Now do it in 5 words.
Physicality, costume, eyes.
Now do it in 1 word.
Commitment.
Ah, there we go. What was your first clown gig?
At the Wyandotte County Fair, going on stage with a well-known clown called Wizzo the Clown.
Do you have a clown hero, and is it Wizzo the Clown?
No, Wizzo's not my clown hero. My clown hero is probably Lou Jacobs. Everybody knows Lou Jacobs.
A way to pander to the crowd with a Lou Jacobs reference. Can clowns also cry when there are a lot of people around?
Well, I mean... If you're a character clown called a tramp, yes, Emmett Kelly, that clown character can cry, but not happy clowns.
Most overrated clown.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, probably Ronald.
Best movie about clowns.
Oh, Bill Murray in Quick Change.
What's something about clowns that we don't know but should?
That clowns just want to make you laugh. They don't want to creep you out, and they do good work for sick kids. But now sick kids are scared of them because of all you adults saying they're creepy.
Eric Stone Street, everybody. Our musical guest this week, oh my goodness, we are in for such a treat. She has given the world several critically acclaimed and best-selling albums, such as The Story and Bear Creek. Her latest album is The Fire Watcher's Daughter. Here is Brandi Carlile with the Twins.
Full disclosure, I have never missed an episode of Modern Family. This is Philip John Hanseraw. This is Tim Hanseroth of the Hanseroth Twin. Very happy to be here at WITS and very happy to be in our beloved Minnesota. I've been down with a broken heart since the day I learned to speak. The devil gave me a crooked store when he gave me crooked feet. But Gabriel done came to me and kissed me in my sleep. And I'll be singing like an angel until I'm 6 feet deep. I found myself an old man and I tattooed on a sign. I set my mind on wandering and walk a broken line. Well, you have a mind to keep me quiet, and although you can try, better men have hit their knees and bigger men have died. I'm gonna rise, rise, yeah. There's a store no one tell. You gotta rise, rise, yeah. Oh, now ring of that. Lightning strike and eyes a bright clear blue. I took that tie from around my neck and gave my heart to you. I sent my love across the sea and though I didn't cry, that voice will haunt my every dream until the day I die. I'm on a you in your grave. At this point it was you or me, and mama didn't raise no slave. You took my face in both your hands and looked me in the eye, and I went down with such a force that in your grave I lie. I'm on a
Carlisle with the Hanseroth twins. Coming up, the dental problem of mouth ghosts and a game of no one can relate to that. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with singer-songwriter Brandi Carlile and actor Eric Stonestreet. The website WikiHow features thousands of articles about how to perform tasks, all written by ordinary people online. Many articles are helpful, how to change your oil, how to become a U.S. citizen. Some, not so helpful. Periodically, we present selections taken word for word from WikiHow as choral readings. This is WikiHow Theater.
Wiki, how'd you do it? Wiki, who? I didn't do it well. WikiHow Theater.
How to annoy your dad.
Follow him everywhere and refuse to tell him what you want. And when he goes into the bathroom, wait outside, but sit down like a dog and just stare at the door constantly until he comes out.
Follow him and constantly ask him if you can have a sandwich. If he tells you to make it, go silent for a bit, still follow him, and after a while, begin ranting again.
If he makes you a sandwich, pick it up, sniff it like a rabbit, wiggle your nose, then drop it back onto the plate and say you don't like it.
Do it all again.
Repeat.
Constantly ask if you can go somewhere. When he gives in, wait until you're halfway there and say that you're bored and want to go home.
Repeat.
Leave sticky notes all over his computer screen saying random things. Make it so it's like bird feathers and cover the entire screen while overlapping.
You should know your dad's limitations. So if you go too far, then don't blame this website or page.
Some of these things could get you in some serious trouble. It depends on what type of dad you have. So, like, know your boundaries first.
How to sneak your cat into work.
Assess your cat's personality. If he's the type to hop in and out of the cat door regularly, he is going to find being confined in a small bag a day of nightmares. And the yowling will definitely let the cat out of the bag, even if the clawing doesn't.
Know the layout of your office so that you know precisely where your boss will be sitting in relation to your area. In particular, know his or her line of sight to your desk or workspace.
Pack everything you'll need into the bag to determine if you can fit all items inside. If your travel litter box will fit, add the box, but be sure you can still fit the cat into the bag the next morning.
If the cat doesn't fit or seems cramped, reconfigure how you packed your travel bag. A squashed cat is not the target of your mission. If questioned, say you have to return a lot of library books after work.
Give your cat lots of affection and attention before you place him in the bag. He needs to know you still love him and that this upheaval is a temporary state of affairs.
Be confident. If you act like you have nothing to hide, no one will suspect that you do. After all, it's not really the first thing coworkers imagine when another coworker arrives at work. Oh, Alice must have a cat in her bag.
How to pretend there is a ghost around. Talk to your friends about ghosts. Go around the school and look for a scary place.
After you have found it, go home and write some notes like, hey, I'm a ghost, etc. But make it believable. Put them in your pocket and the next day tell your friend a story like, I know a place around the school that someone died at. Etc.
When you get there, tell your friends to turn their backs one way and quickly drop the notes that you wrote without your friends seeing and tell them to turn back around.
If they say wow or seem very excited, then go back there every day.
Make sure your friends think it's a ghost that wrote the notes.
Do not show anyone else the notes because they might tell a teacher.
If your friends catch you dropping the notes, then they might not believe in ghosts anymore.
And that is WikiHow Theater.
WikiHow Theater.
Eric Stone Street, Brandi Carlile, Christina Baldwin, Mike Fotis, and me reading those. Once again, Brandi Carlile.
This is a song from the Fire Watcher's Daughter. It's called The Things I Regret. Dreams fell through from the sidewalk in the city to the avenue. There's a link in my dam about the size of a pin, and I can't quite remember how the water's getting in. But when you're wearing on your sleeve all the things you regret, you can only remember what you want to forget. You feel it tugging at your heart like the stars overhead, till you rest your bones on the killing bed. Let them roll over me, let them roll over me when I doubt you. Let them roll over me, let them roll over me when I doubt you. With the weight of the world resting on my back, and the road in which I've traveled is as long as it is cracked, but I keep pressing forward with my feet to the ground. For a heart that is broken makes a beautiful sound. When you're wearing on your sleeve all the things you regret, you can only remember what you want to forget. Let them roll over me, let them roll over me when I doubt you. Let them roll over me, let them roll over me when I doubt you. Hard moving on from the things you've done wrong.
When they play in your head like an old-fashioned song, when you're wearing on your sleeve all the things you regret,
you can only remember what you want to forget. Lonely miles without you. Lonely miles. I let them roll over me, I let them roll over me when I touch you.
Let them roll over me, let them roll over me, let them roll over me, let them roll over me. Let the ground keep my bones, let the water be my home, let the dust hold my soul like a holy rolling stone.
Brandi Carlile with the Twins. My goodness.
Not bad, Brandi. You should really consider this for a career.
Brandi Carlile, welcome back to Wits.
Oh, thank you for having me back.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. You sing real good.
Thank you, brother.
The new album, The Fire Watcher's Daughter. First of all, is the fire watcher's daughter you?
Is it me or is it my daughter? I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Or is it both?
Yeah, you've become a mom since not too long ago.
That's right.
Very recently. Wow. And to a little girl, I understand?
Yep, little Evangeline.
Evangeline. Now, gosh, I know being a parent, like, especially a new parent, it can destroy all your facilities to be creative at all. It can just completely wipe the floor with you. How have you held up your creativity and your songwriting during all this?
I was worried about that. I was really worried about that, actually. And Tim and Phil, they had their kids before me. And Tim in particular, he told me, you know, don't worry, it's going to make you really happy. And the truth is that you can even write better sad songs when you're happy.
Is that true?
And it's true. Oh, yeah. You just, when you're tortured, you think you're writing really great tortured songs. Because it's really the best you can do. But when you're happy, you know that you're able to tap into somewhere and then tap back out of it again. And that's the key, I think, to writing substantial songs when you're in a good place.
How is this album different from your previous albums?
It's so much different, man. I can't really even put my finger on it. I'd say if it's like any one of them, it'd be most like the first one, Brandi Carlile. The one was an accident, you know?
Yeah.
It's an innocent record. It's the result of us forgetting how things were sort of supposed to be done for these last few years.
In terms of writing or recording or what?
Yeah, definitely writing, recording, demoing, being a part of the major label process is a different process. It's a really cool one. There's not a single, 20-year-old in all the world that didn't want to be signed to Columbia Records. So that was a really cool ride for us. But now that we're not on Columbia Records anymore, the process is different, which is that there's really nobody to prove your songs to before you get a chance for them to have a life. And the point was just to make all those really great moments that were happening on demos and in rehearsals and in auditions, to make that moment happen in the studio for once. And I feel like it really did.
You're playing this week here on Wits with Tim and Phil. Twin brothers,
mm-hmm.
We should point out to the radio audience.
Yep.
Not the same person,
yeah.
But looking very much alike.
Very similar.
How long have you been working with them?
Forever. Since I was, I met them when I was about 17 or 18, and we started, they were in kind of a punk rock and roll band in Seattle called The Fighting Machinists. I was playing acoustic music in bars and Pike Place Market, and I wanted to plug in and be in a rock band, and they wanted to strip down and learn how to play acoustic guitars, and we met in that sort of contradiction. And at the time, grunge had just kind of happened and fizzled in Seattle, and there was this real secret thing, which is that three-part harmony was not cool anymore in that city. And we've kind of felt like these sort of defectors because we get together in my living room and sing three-part harmony choruses, and that was what we really bonded on.
Is it country? Like, I've always wondered when people say that you play country music, do you consider it country music? Do you consider it Americana or folk, or do you bother with these words the rest of us have to use?
I don't know. I mean, when I made this story, I was wondering about that. And T-Bone Burnett, who produced the story, he told me, T-Bone, he said, just to call your music rock and roll, because that's all Americana music really is anyway. It's all derived from this kind of rock and roll sensibility, which isn't a genre, but a risk that you take. And so I just call it rock and roll.
Do you listen to other artists when you're putting an album together? Do you?
Yes.
Is it informed by who's in heavy rotation with you at that moment?
Yeah.
So who was in heavy rotation for this one?
You know, I'd say as a band, we were listening to a lot of CSN,
Crosby,
Mac,
Stills, Nash.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Fleetwood Mac a lot. I was really listening to early Bonnie Raitt, Cyndi Lauper, Ann Wilson from Heart. I was listening to some of her stuff that she's been doing vocally. And I was really listening to a lot of vocalists that sing right on the edge of what they can do. And
what do you mean by that?
Just like on the edge as far as like at the top of their range and their volume. And, you know, when you sing in a certain place that's difficult for you, you're not able to employ any of the affectation. You can't think you sound cool because you're just trying to hit the notes. And so there's a real innocence in that.
Well, it's a great album. We're so happy to have you here. Brandi Carlile,
thank you,
everybody.
Guys. Thank you.
Support for Wits comes from Allens of America. Have you considered naming your new baby Allen? Allen the baby. There goes baby Allen, you could say. This is my baby, Allen. And from Domino's Pizza, apologizing for making pizza out of leftover pizza boxes, we probably won't do it again. We get additional funding from Iggy Azalea. Iggy Azalea, making people forget about Vanilla Ice for 14 months.
Dr. Hooper, Mr. Max Welton is here. Just climb into the chair there.
Okay, thanks. Hello, doctor.
Mr. Max Welton, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's weird. I have pain in my mouth, but it's like it moves around, and I've noticed a little blood, but I don't know. Maybe it's because I changed my floss recently.
Oh, well, maybe. Open up. Give me a little look-see.
Get out!
I'm sorry, what?
I didn't say anything.
Uh-oh. Open up again, please.
Get out!
Okay, now you definitely said something because that was not me.
No, that wasn't either of us. You have mouth ghosts, Mr. Max Welton. Jenny, could you grab my spark shield? Actually, all the class 3 tools?
Class 3. Oh boy. Be right back.
Well, what is mouth ghosts? I don't understand dental slang.
Ghosts living in your mouth.
What?
Eerie mist under the tongue, blood dripping down the walls of your cheeks, and your taste buds spell out red rum. It ain't gingivitis. It's a good one every time. Mouth ghosts, big ones too. Really nasty guys.
Here you go. Spirit drill, spark shield, and 3/8-inch wraith scraper.
Thank you, Jenny. Mr. Max Welton, I need you to sit back and relax. Try not to twitch too much, or they'll head straight to your brain and then to your soul.
How did my mouth get haunted?
Well, have you been brushing and flossing?
Yes, I have. I mean, maybe not as much flossing.
And did you walk by any cemetery slack-jawed lately?
Well, I wouldn't call it slack-jawed. I might have had my mouth open for a moment.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm sure it was just for a moment.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that.
Okay. Look, I can treat mouth ghosts, but I can't prevent them. I can't stand outside the cemetery all night and stop you from walking by. I can't follow you around banishing every oral specter.
Oh, why does there always have to be a guilt trip?
Hold on to these copper rods, please.
You and your family will burn in perdition's fiery furnace, Dr. Hooper!
Yep, there they are, Jenny. Get this on the chart. We have a dento demon. It looks like we have a plaque howler on the molar. Now hold very still, Mr. Max Welton.
We're not coming out, Dr. Hooper!
Doesn't matter, ghosties, because I'm coming in after ya!
You'll never get us! Never!
Yes, I will. Call me Bill Murray, because those ghosts are busted.
Oh, thank you. Are they gone?
Yes, they're gone. Now, let's look at some x-rays on those receding gums.
Okay. Brandi Carlile as Jenny, Eric Stone Street as Dr. Hooper, Christina Baldwin and Mike Fotis as mouth ghosts, me as the patient. More with comedian Eric Stone Street and Brandi Carlile in just a moment. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. This is Wits. I'm John Moe here with Eric Stone Street and musician Brandi Carlile. You know, I was in my basement the other day, and there are so many things down there, things that I do not use. That's why they are in the basement. Too many things, things that have been put but not thrown away. So they stay there. Some of them, I guess, that we could toss and we may eventually. Other stuff we're going to keep and we have to keep whether we want to or not, because those are the rules and these are the things that have been handed down. For instance, we have all this fancy fine china down there, plates, cups, dishes, and it was handed down from my wife's grandparents. It's old, it's beautiful, it's delicate. We never, ever use it. We have three kids. When we moved, we had to wrap each piece as carefully as though we were wrapping a baby hummingbird. Now, understand, I love this china. I treasure the memories it brings up. I loved the people to whom it belonged. I also live in abject terror of all this stuff getting smashed by an errant child, pet, me, or falling object. A sneeze might shatter these things. I'm a nervous wreck. So I think we need a new approach, and here's my idea. Stop handing down fine china to future generations. No jewelry either, or rickety wooden furniture that sits in the corner wishing it could just die. Instead, weights. Actual weightlifting weights. Then, when the next generation grows up and gets settled in their adult lives, they inherit the family weights. You hand them down, everyone's biceps improving in the process. Weights aren't fragile. You can drop them. They'll be fine. And then the rule is that you can't ever throw them away. You can only hand them down again. Now, here's one way we could do it. Each family gets a bar, and then each generation puts a new weight on each side. You could even decorate them. You could personalize them. Write the word metaphor in Sharpie for potentially dense progeny if you want. Put the unblinking faces of deceased grand relatives on there. That way they won't be lost or forgotten. You can never misplace barbells. Family weights that take up room and are unavoidable. They can make you stronger if you work with them. They can hurt you if you're not careful. They will persevere no matter what. Be careful your family doesn't crush you. And have a buddy to lift with. And now the Wits Game Show. Eric Stonestreet is a professional actor charged with delivering believable performances under imaginary circumstances, often playing someone the audience can relate to. Brandi Carlile makes music that calls upon the familiar themes of heartache, relationships, childhood for her music, all things that we can also relate to. But what can they do with less plausible scenarios? This week's game is called None of Us Can Relate to That. I will give you a character and a scenario. It will be unlikely. Eric, you perform a short dramatic monologue as that character in those circumstances. Brandi will perform a heartfelt song from that same point of view. After each round, I will declare a winner. As always, my decisions will be arbitrary and capricious.
How many rounds are there?
Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Eric, dramatic monologue, please. You work at Chili's, but you are a ghost.
You know, people come in here, and they order a salad, and they're like, can we get some extra bread with that? And I'm like, yeah, of course. But it's like they're looking right through me. They don't even pay attention to me. And then I bring their salad, and they're always surprised that it shows up on time. And I'm like, hello, I'm right here. Can't you just connect with me just for one moment? It's like I'm a ghost or something. Oh, wait.
Very nice, very nice. I like that little epilogue of, oh, wait, right at the end. That was good. Brandi Carlile, you work at Chili's, but you were a ghost. A song, please, on this topic.
I can't compete with this.
I work at Chili's, but I am a ghost. For this and many reasons, there's things I miss the most. No one can see me, so my tips truly suck. And I love appetizers, so I am out of luck. Buffalo wings. I can't eat the buffalo wings.
I'm giving a point to Brandy, but I'm giving a half a point to Eric for his background singing. That was good. All right, Brandy, we'll make you go first for this one. You are the new mayor of Mummy Town, but you are not a mummy yourself. It's not going well.
What?
You know, a mummy town, a town full of mummies, like there is.
There is a place called Mummy Town, and they elected me. I ain't never been no mummy, but I played one on TV. I tried to warn old Mummy Town, and they said that's okay, 'cause George Clooney ain't no doctor, and Eric Stone Street ain't no gay.
You can't expect me to go. That is unfair. I should get a point just for witnessing that.
Eric, you are the new mayor of Mummy Town. You are not a mummy yourself, but yet you are charged with the office of mayor. It's not going well.
Well, we just had our first finance budget meeting the other day. I gotta tell you, these mummies, they use a lot of gauze. And I told the council, I said, hey, man, we gotta up the budget for gauze. Because these guys, they'll run around, you know, they're everywhere. And they'll be running around mummying up and doing whatnot and everything. And they'll inevitably get caught up on a tree and they'll unravel and spool around, you know. And then we gotta go out there and clean up all that gauze. Well, long story short, we upped our budget and we got more gauze, and now the mummies can do the mummying and feel comfortable about it in their own skin. We're an inclusive town. We got a vampire last week.
Oh, you know. I'm giving it to Eric Stone Street.
Oh, please.
No.
A way to turn the audience on me.
Arbitrary and capricious, you all knew the ground rules.
They just hissed me. This woman literally just hissed me.
Eric, you'll go first on this one. You have invented a grape-flavored car.
A grape-flavored car?
Yeah, it's a car, and it's grape-flavored.
Well, today I would like to show you the car that I have invented. It is a grape-flavored car. Go ahead and take a lick of the hood. You'll notice right off the bat that it tastes like grape. And then if I could get you to sit on the inside, pull off that seatbelt. What is that? That is grape taffy. And just strap that across your chest and drive away. Brandy?
the key so you don't notice it's going to be the same melody as the last one. He's trying to throw me. He's trying to throw me.
It is a competition.
Used to own a cherry-flavored automotive business in the land of the free. But fruity-flavored car consumers grow fickle and are moving on from cars that taste like things that grow on trees. Got a willing patent pending. My next plan will get me far. I invented the world's first grape-flavored car.
Brandi Carlile takes the round. Brandi Carlile is the winner of our game, everybody. Let's hear it for both of our contestants who did a wonderful, wonderful job. And now, the Wits Lightning Round, all the thrill of an interview without the burden of appropriate pacing. Eric Stone Street, you're from Kansas. Do you like the band Kansas?
Love.
Brandi Carlile, there is no band called Washington, so do you like the band Whitesnake?
Don't think so.
Eric, a book that changed your life?
Charlotte's Web.
Brandi, same question.
The Neverending Story.
Brandi, you perform with the twin brothers Tim and Phil Hanseroth. Which is the best one?
The one that's not married to my sister.
Eric, who is the most gullible member of the Modern Family cast?
Sophia.
Eric, do you realize that your role in Almost Famous made you almost famous?
Yes.
Brandi, most exciting place to go in your hometown of Ravensdale, Washington?
The Trout Lake.
Eric, you grew up on a farm with pigs and cows. Which is better before it becomes meat?
Oh, pigs are sweet.
Brandi, have you ever dotted the I at the end of your name with a little heart?
Always.
Eric, have you ever dotted the I in the middle of your name with a little heart?
Always.
Brandi, Pat Benatar or Patsy Cline?
Oh my God, and don't do this to me, Patsy Cline.
Brandi, at age 10, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A cowboy.
Eric, same question.
A prison administrator, marine clown.
Eric, Roadhouse or Point Break?
Oh, that is a classic Pat Benatar, Patsy Cline dilemma. Hey. Ooh, Utah, give me two. I'm going Point Break.
Brandi, you've opened for both Ray LaMontagne and Chris Isaak. Who would win between the two of them in a fist fight?
Chris.
Eric, same question, but between Sofia Vergara and Julie Bowen?
Sofia Vergara.
Brandi, how hard is it to be a singer?
Not.
Eric, how hard is it to be an actor?
First bragger. To get there, it's very hard. Once you're in your role, shouldn't be too hard.
Eric, would you ever want to go into space?
No, thank you.
Brandi, would you ever want Eric to go into space?
I would want him to represent humanity, yes.
Eric, biggest animal at the zoo you could beat up if it came right down to it?
I mean, I think a giraffe seems kind of wimpy.
Brandi, same question.
Something marine based.
Just punching a dolphin from up above?
Fisherman at heart, I think.
Brandi Carlile, dolphin puncher. You heard it here, folks. And that's the Wits Lightning Round. Once again, Brandi Carlile.
I am an old woman named after my mother. My old man is another child that's grown old. dreams were lightning and thunder were design. This old house would have burned down a long time ago. Singing, make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. When I was a young girl, I had me a cowboy. He weren't much to look at, just a free rambling man. That was a long time, and no matter how I tried, the years they rolled by like a broken down dam. Flies in the kitchen, I can hear them, they're buzzing, and I ain't done nothing since I woke up today. How the hell can a person go to work in the morning, oh, come home in the evening and got nothing to say? Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. To believe in this living is just a hard way. Go.
Brandi Carlile with the Twins, Don Munson and the Witnesses, and the audience at the Fitzgerald Theater in St. Paul. Want more Wits in your life? Go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a Wits show in person. You can sign up for our newsletter, get the latest about what our various Wits guests are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us. We're at Wits. Thank you to our friends Eric Stonestreet and Brandi Carlile. Thanks also to Ali Lozoff, our intern Autumn Burgraff, and the staff of the Fitzgerald Theater, Tom Campbell, Aaron Cossio, Dan Zimmerman, Mike Wongen, and Alan Freckman. Special thanks to Jeff Kamen. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker, Jeff Drake, Joe Greenway, and Mike Fotis, who also acted in this week's show, along with Christina Baldwin. We're joined this week by our music director, John Munson, and the witnesses, Janie Winterbauer, Steve Rome, and Richard Medick. Our technical director is Corey Schreppel, our executive producer is Peter Clowney, and our senior producers are Hans Buto and Larissa Anderson. I'm John Moe. Bye now.